You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens, Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and find us at thecollegehuddle.com, common fans. Well, the spring game has come and gone, and hopefully you had a chance to try out some new options on the grill for your tailgate or family gathering. No doubt many common fans were cooking up steaks, burgers, hot dogs, ribs, and more from Nebraska's own certified Piedmontese beef. Raised and grazed by our friends and neighbors in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state, this premium Nebraska product is the best you'll find anywhere. Stop by your local Mercado butcher shop at 30th and Yankee Hill or 84th and Havelock in Lincoln, and also at 162nd and Maple in Omaha. You can also go to cpbeef.com to get certified Piedmontese products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Hey, real quick, thoughts and prayers out to everyone impacted by the tornadoes in Nebraska and Iowa and Oklahoma over the last several days. Certainly hope everyone is okay, hope families are okay, but obviously we all know some areas really got hit hard. Just kind of hard to believe some of the images we've seen, first of the storms themselves on Friday, and then, of course, of the aftermath. So certainly a good reminder, guys, about what's really important in life, and that this thing that we obsess over is just a game, you know, played by college kids. But also hopefully a reminder, and you know, Tom Chattel talked about this a little bit in his piece, hopefully a reminder of the power of sports. And, that something like Nebraska football can be a unifying thing for people in our state and bringing people yep. together. And it has been really cool to see, you know, people rally. Will Compton and his crew, they have shirts out to raise money for people in Iowa and Nebraska. The university's done it. That's a good reminder. I pulled up this list for anybody. KETV put together a list. If anybody wants to donate to support the effort, the American Red Cross is a good place to go. Husker Athletics put out a Nebraska Together apparel line. 100% of the proceeds going to tornado relief for folks impacted there. The Nebraska, Salvation Army, United Way of the Midlands. And then am I seeing this right? The Humane Society as well. The Humane Society as well. So that's a good list. You can find it on ketv.com. There's plenty of ways to help our friends and neighbors who have been impacted. So hope all common fans will take a minute to check out your options there. Anything else to add there, guys?
Sucks. I mean,
go ahead, Jeff.
It's a bummer that this whole thing happened. So yeah, you put it perfectly, Teed. So well said.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just, there's a lot to process all that. You know, we always joke in here and, here in Lincoln about us having the dome. But it seems like the north side of town always gets hit pretty hard. And then obviously Waverly and I know Elkhorn, and some of those other communities got hit pretty bad. So just thinking about those people that, hopefully now they've got somewhere to stay for a while their homes get rebuilt and things like that, but it's going to be a long road for them. So obviously thoughts and prayers out to them.
If there's one thing we can be certain of, it's that the community will rally around them and the community will support them. That doesn't mean, you know, there won't be hard days, and that doesn't mean there hasn't been real loss in these different places, obviously. But, you know, I think these communities in not just Nebraska, but Iowa and Oklahoma as well, will really rally around their friends and neighbors and family members and hopefully help people get back on their feet as soon as possible. So
for sure.
Moving forward, this is the spring game episode. Did you guys watch the spring game?
Yeah.
Betcha.
Yep. Yeah. Watched, didn't get to watch all of it. As a true Common fan with, as a father, things that are other things going on, I had to record it. But I saw a good chunk of it, the main stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what it made me think of, guys. It made me think of our very first episode of 2024, January, I think it was about January 3rd, we put it out. And for the Common fans who don't remember, that episode was titled, "It's Time to Believe in Nebraska Football Again." And nothing about the spring game made me less certain of that belief. Let me say that. If you are a Common fan who thought it was maybe important to temper expectations or not to get too hyped up about Dylan Raiola or the team in general going into, what is it, 4 months of offseason, unfortunately, you're going to be disappointed after Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
That was my takeaway. We made a list here of top line takeaways. And the first one won't surprise anyone, but just piggybacking right on this theme that we're talking about is Dylan Raiola. And I think more broadly than that, even I'm excited to get into all this with you guys. I think the quarterback room in general is in great shape, and maybe like better than we realized. I think everyone is basically like, we hope Raiola is good, and or as good as advertised. And then basically, hopefully, he doesn't get hurt. And like, if we have to, we got one or two guys behind him. And we'll get into that whole dynamic in a minute. But I mean, just real quick on Dylan Raiola. I mean, my first takeaway is like that's your QB1.
Yeah,
it's like that's your starting quarterback right there, assuming he stays healthy, God willing. He came out with the number one offense. Now he ran with both the ones and the twos throughout the day. Ended up 16 for 22, 239 yards, two touchdowns. But more than that, guys, I mean, Nebraska football fans are smart football fans. And we know when something looks right. We know when it doesn't. He really passes the eye test. I mean, he's smooth. He's accurate. He's got, that arm. We all knew about the big arm. But I think, was it one of the first plays of the game was a deep shot to the end zone? I think that thing went about 60 yards.
Yeah.
And it
bomb.
It looked like he was just, yeah, it was like no problem. And so, I mean, we've got a good one, boys.
Yeah. And I mean, that throw was impressive, TJ. Obviously, the touchdown throw on the first drive was impressive. But I was even impressed with that little tight end out to Fedoni in that first drive that got 15, 20 yards. I mean, just that quick little release. I mean, how long have we struggled to have a quarterback that can throw a simple flanker screen or a tight end screen or any type of short pass that involves timing? Timing and accuracy. Like, if you can get some of those
touch.
You can get 7, 8, 9 yards on those quick passes, look out. And you pair in the deep ball that he's obviously got. Oh my gosh. The excitement is real, boys.
Yeah. I mean, you'll hear me say it a couple of times. Like, I'll preface everything I say is that it is a scrimmage. So I want to be a realist still. I don't want to go over the top. But even for a scrimmage, it looked pretty damn good to me. Owens, you talked about the pass to Fedoni to start it off. Like, that was the best way you could have started it off, because all the rage is Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce. And the first play we ran was an awesome pass play to our tight end for like 16 yards. So that was a good way to get the crowd hyped. But if anything, it just told me, I mean, he can throw the ball, like you said. He's good at throwing it. He's got a good spiral. It looks good. He can throw it deep. That was great. That's what I took from it. It was a good scrimmage. We'll see what happens when he has the threat of a 300-pound lineman about ready to truck him and see what decisions he makes then. But based off of what I saw in a scrimmage, pretty damn good. I loved it.
There will be no realism.
There's no need to be the turd in the punch bowl here, Jeff. We're very, very excited here.
Let all Common fans bask in the glow of the hype, you know, like, come on.
All right.
I thought it was interesting, guys, too. You know, Coach Rhule, we're going to get more into what he said. But Coach Rhule spent basically the whole second quarter in the press box with Larry Putney and Kenny Bell, kind of commenting, and they were asking about all different sorts of things. But I wrote down a few of the things that he said, and like he didn't come out and say Dylan's the guy, but just the way he talked about it, he said, quote, you see Dylan's rhythm out there. You see his tempo. I mean, nothing's too big. He's in control. And then he went on to say, I loved the fact that he moved the number one offense. He moved the two offense. He's doing a nice job out there so far today. And I just think it's subtle, but the comment of nothing's too big for him, I mean, I think it's definitely an indication that like this guy's ready to lead this team, right? This guy's QB1, basically.
Yeah. No, he looked like he's a, you know, third year on campus. Like, and I guess maybe I was thinking about this watching the game. Like, I think the excitement comes from, you know, how many times have we had a hyped up player, whether it's a transfer or a recruit, and you know, then they come out in the spring game and he like throws a bad pick or like doesn't look quite as good as we thought he might. Well, this feels like, okay, this guy's legit. He's the real deal. He's going to deliver. I mean, to go down the first drive of the spring game and lead a touchdown drive and look good doing it, some nice throws. I think that's part of it. Like, you're hyped up, and then the guy looks like he's going to be able to back up the hype. I mean, that's, yeah, it's absolutely, it's so great. It's so great.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other thing was, so it looks like it appears at the moment that Harburg, Heinrich Harburg, AKA William Wallace, as we call him on the show, is your number two guy. So guys, he was 8 of 13 for 163 yards, 2 touchdowns for him. I got to say with Harburg, I mean, we know he's a great athlete, right? We witnessed that through all of 2023, but the throwing motion, I thought, looked better. It looked smoother. He had some absolutely beautiful balls. He had the long touchdown pass to Ja'Cory Barney. There was a big completion on, it was like second and a country mile in the second quarter, like kind of up the seam to Bo Ricker, Borkircher. What are you laughing at?
He said he had some absolutely beautiful balls.
Did I say that? Okay. Good Lord.
He blacked out for a second.
See, I get going on this stuff. I'm looking at my notes. I'm looking at you guys, and I don't even realize what's being said.
But he did. He did.
Beavis over there.
He did, and I bet he does.
The balls were beautiful. The balls were absolutely beautiful.
They were.
But I mean, I like really good, sharp throws, the likes of which we didn't see very many of last year. And so that just gave me some comfort. And, you know, and then Danny Kalen, he was 9 of 16 for 91 yards. He looked pretty good as well. I mean, I think he's probably in the conversation if Dylan Raiola is not here this year, or at least could make a push for the job. And so it just overall, the takeaway is that the QB room is maybe on more solid ground than we might have thought going into spring ball. Coach Rhule did make a comment after the spring game, after, you know, at the post game press conference, that basically they would always be open to taking another quarterback, whether it's like a talented guy, I can't remember how he said it, but like a talented guy on the upswing or even as a depth piece. So that's encouraging to hear, because you just, I mean, how many times have we gotten through a season without a quarterback, at least being banged up a little bit, having to miss a little bit of time. Yeah. I mean, you hope that never happens, but I just think that's encouraging to hear. But I think my takeaway at the very least, guys, Heinrich Harburg is going to have an impact this fall. So that could be having to take meaningful snaps at quarterback. That could be playing another position. He's such a good athlete. At the very least, I think it's going to involve mentoring Dylan, mentoring Danny Kalen. But I have a sense he's going to have an impact on the field as well, guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
he's you know, early on, you know, I knew a couple of the big plays just from reading about it. But when I watched early on, I was like, you know, I think he almost threw, you know, Heine almost threw a pick on the first drive he had. And then He took off on one later, and I know it's spring game and they're wearing the green jerseys and they can't hit him, but he took off on one and he looked so damn impressive running the ball. And I had this thought of like, God, if he had a better throwing motion and was more accurate as a passer, he'd be freaking Josh Allen. Like, that's how big and athletic he is, where if he could throw the ball consistently, he's an impressive athlete. He just is. And I'm with you 100%. If it's not, you know, playing quarterback, I mean, hopefully, but being realistic, yeah, we probably will need more than one quarterback. But if Raiola doesn't go down, we've got to find a way to get that guy on the field for a few plays a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd love to see even like a package of where he can come in and just give a defense a different look, whether that's playing quarterback or whether that's as like a threat out of the sort of like H-back type situation, but you also know he can throw kind of thing. Like, I'd like to think they get a little bit creative and find a way to use him somehow.
Yeah, right? Have him come in and run a zone read, like a wildcat. You know, he's good enough to throw where that's still a threat too. You've got a triple threat right there out of, you know, certain packages if you want to bring him in at quarterback to spell Raiola a few times.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Takeaway number two. Geoff, I thought of you when I wrote this in the notes.
Because oh, dear God.
No, it's a good thing. Mr. Hollywood, you love offense. You love big offensive plays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you were frothing at the mouth watching the spring game. But guys, where did all these playmakers come from? I know it's just a spring game. I know it's a scrimmage. But there appears to be speed and playmakers everywhere.
That's exactly what I had in my notes after watching was, It's great we have a talented quarterback that's capable of making passes, but where the hell did all these receivers come from all of a sudden? People weren't dropping balls inexplicably. They're actually making insane catches that we're just not used to seeing. So that was, you're right, TJ, when it came to like, when he dropped that dime to Jalen Lloyd, like I feel like any other year a pass like that, we would have found a way to bobble that or drop it or something, or it just wouldn't have worked out in our favor. I mean, that was just beautiful. So yeah, you're right. These playmakers just came out of nowhere for this game. But it is a scrimmage. Let's just take it easy. It's a scrimmage, no. Okay? Calm down.
Geoff, refill your Kool-Aid glass, Geoff. Come on. What I thought was interesting too, it was funny because, you know, Rhule, while being interviewed, you know, as we mentioned for, I think it was the entire second quarter, but he's kind of hint multiple times made comments about how they went out and got guys that can take the top off the defense, and they continued to develop the guys they already had, like Jalen Lloyd and Malachi Coleman. And as they're talking, as he's making these comments about, you know, the wide receiver room upgrades in particular, you had the Jalen Lloyd, I think it was a 64-yard touchdown pass. You had the Ja'Cory Barney almost took one to the house. And the only reason he didn't is because he thought the kicker who was wearing a gray jersey was on his team. And so he sort of like slowed up. I don't know if he slowed up or he just didn't take the kicker approaching him seriously because he thought he was about to score.
That was hilarious.
But Ja'Cory Barney is another one, true freshman. That's a guy they went and got out of Miami this offseason. He absolutely looks like the real deal, and he doesn't seem to be lacking for confidence either. You can just tell Coach Rhule is very confident about the improvement in the passing game. And guys, I mean, Jalen Lloyd is going to be a problem for opposing defense.
Yeah. I can't wait. That's going to be cool. Fun to watch.
Seeing some of the clips and highlights from spring practices, I feel like I've seen him make several similar catches like he did in the spring game, just burning the defense and getting behind him and just catching the ball and waltzing into the end zone. So that it seems to be that's a pretty consistent thing for him, just burning people and having good enough hands to get a long bomb.
Who was it that made that crazy grab from Harburg to the end zone that was like insane?
Ja'Cory Barney.
That was Barney.
That's one too. Like they were all over him. He still made that grab. That was awesome.
Well, I think I read this in Sam McEwen's Rewind, but apparently Rhule said they really worked on, with Jalen Lloyd in particular, like the ball catching aspect of it over in the offseason, right? He's always had the speed, and that's why they went and got him. But I think he's really refining his entire game as a wide receiver. But I mean, so you got Lloyd picking up where he left off. Thomas Fedoni just looks fantastic. Coach Rhule said after the game, every school in the country is trying to pluck him away from Nebraska. But I'm really excited about Fedoni this fall. Isaiah Nayer looked good, the transfer from Texas. Yeah. We talked about Ja'Cory Barney. And then there's a ton of optimism about Jamal Banks, the transfer from Wake Forest, who didn't do a ton in the spring game, but I know they're really optimistic about him. And then another guy, guys, Janiron Bonner, number 16 out there, came in as a wide receiver. They kind of had him as like a fullback, H-back last year. And now he's sort of, I think Coach Rule has commented they want to put him all over the field, but he's back. He had a bunch of really good catches, throughout the spring game. And I think they can use him as an H-back. They can use him as a fullback. They can split him out as a wide receiver. I think he's really promising as well. So suddenly it just feels like we have tons of weapons that we can, and Malachi Coleman wasn't playing because he's recovering from an injury. Yeah. Was there someone else who wasn't playing? Unfortunately, Demetrius Bell, who was with the starting offense and we heard a ton about, and was one of my picks to pop in a previous episode, went down with a knee injury. That doesn't look great. We'll have to wait and see what the official report is on that. But so you hope he's okay. But boy, guys, talking about the theme that's been a theme on the show of Matt Rhule not standing pat, they went and got some dudes this offseason.
Yeah, we definitely have some dudes. It could be a really fun fall with this offense.
For sure.
So another thing that Sam McEwen mentioned in his rewind piece is that Jalen Lloyd's offer list before Nebraska was North Dakota, Northern Iowa, and Texas Tech. And McEwen's quote was, he's already becoming a shining example of the NU staff taking elite track measurables and developing the football part. Doesn't it seem for years, this is another point, like what you were saying earlier, Matt, doesn't it seem like for years, we're bringing in all this speed, or we're going, even with Frost, that was always what Chip Kelly did at Oregon. Maybe not the highest recruited guys, but they had verifiable track speed and he would turn them into these explosive weapons on offense. And I remember when Frost first came in, he brought in a bunch of JUCO guys and undergrad guys. It was, he's bringing in all this speed. We're just going to run past everyone in the Big Ten. And then we just seemed to fail on the development part. You'd never hear from them again. They wouldn't make much of an impact on the field or whatever. You could argue Jalen Lloyd has already made, with what he did last year, has already made more of an impact than a lot of those guys. But it's just, I think Rhule was kind of known for this when he was at Baylor in particular, surrounded by all this speed in Texas. And so he would bring in sort of under-recruited guys but that had the athleticism and the speed and turn them into real weapons. And it's pretty exciting to see that happening in Nebraska.
Right. Yeah, the speed, 100%. You can bring in speedy guys, but if they're not good at route running or they can't catch the ball, like, what good does it do?
You have a problem.
The development part, and it already, we're seeing some of these guys, and I noticed a few younger guys, true freshmen on the field, and I'm just really excited to see how our team looks year after year and how these young guys that come in and are really there to be developed, how they look in year two and year three and some of them year four. Because it already looks like the development part, we're doing a much better job.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we're sticking with the offense. One other thing that really jumped out to me is I feel like the running back room is trending up. Now, we've always been big Emmett Johnson fans on this program. I think it's fair to say he just looks like a dude. He started from the number one offense. He looks the part. He looks like a three down back in the Big Ten. He can lower his shoulder and run over you. He can turn it on and run for speed. I thought Emmett Johnson looked really good. I thought Dante Dowdell or Dowdle, however they pronounce it, the transfer from Oregon, looked pretty good as well. He was with the number two offense, at least to start. Big, powerful guy. I'm not sure if he has quite the burst that Emmett Johnson does, but he did break a long almost 50 yard touchdown run. He had two touchdowns total. And Rhule made the point, I guess I didn't fully, or if I knew this, I had forgotten it. He's got 3 years left to play and he hasn't taken a red shirt. So there's tons of time to work with that guy. I think, again, he's another guy who can be a bruiser in the Big Ten. And then we didn't even see, we know We know Ramir Johnson and Gabe Irvin can bring something to the table as well. Unfortunately, those guys have struggled with injuries over the years, but I feel like if even one of those guys can get healthy or both, they can both be contributors as well.
You attribute that a lot of that too to the offensive line definitely playing better from what I've seen from last year. So it sounds like from what I was listening to from Kenny Bell and those folks that they've taken a step forward as well, and that's huge, especially for running backs, but then protecting our quarterback and giving him time to throw those awesome passes. I think that's going to be a big, big difference this season.
Is it, you know, I don't even know if I should put this out there, guys. Is it too much to hope, you know, how many times did we say last year, if the offense could just be average, you know, we'd probably be winning two or three or four more games. Is it too much to hope after Saturday that this offense could be good?
Be better than average?
Is that, it could be better than average?
Are we allowed?
Like a top 50 offense in the country, maybe?
Well, we'll get into that, I'm sure, when we talk to the defense, talk about the defense coming up. But let's calm down, take a breather, and we'll see how things play out. I'm excited, to say the least.
Okay, well, I can't tell how excited you are, Jeff, because you keep clipping our wings.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, whatever. Speaking of that defense, I don't have a ton on the defense, guys. I originally had it as an area of concern. Like, both offenses came out and looked really good right away, and that was exciting. But then it was like, what's going on with the defense? But then it sort of came out, and it was really hard to tell. No, there were no names on the backs of jerseys,
right?
And guys are switching sides, so it was a little bit hard to tell.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is that a new thing? Like, I feel like we've, at least in the spring game, we've had names on jerseys.
Yeah, that was
that made
me nuts.
It like really like I had to look for through the roster a lot, like scrolling through the roster as I'm watching, like, oh, who's 25? Oh, it's Jeremiah Charles, and who's this guy? Oh, it's so and so. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't remember, and I didn't see anywhere like if that was some intentional, you know, one team kind of, you know, thing. But it did just make it kind of hard to figure out. But it came out, I don't know, during the game or after the game. Most of the big guys didn't play.
Yeah,
Nash didn't play. Ty Robinson didn't play. Isaac Gifford was interviewed on the sidelines. He was clearly in street clothes.
Which, I think, by most, the way,
Tommy Hill didn't play. Go ahead, Jeff.
I've never seen, like, I see most of these kids on Saturdays with their helmets on. Never really paid attention to what Isaac Gifford looks like, but that he is all that is man, for God's sake. He looks like a Viking.
You know who
never
he looks
seen that
like?
Guy with that helmet.
You know, I don't know for sure what the kid's name is, but Kurt Russell has a son that's an actor, and he looks like almost exactly like Isaac Gifford.
Well, when we have a magical season in 2024 and, you know, they make a movie about Nebraska's return to greatness, Kurt They'll Russell's play son can play Isaac Gifford.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Yep.
Perfect.
100%.
So I don't, I, and they interviewed Tony White. I don't know if you guys saw that. They interviewed him at halftime and he seemed kind of pissed off. Like, he wasn't happy with the play of the defense. But I'm just not sure there's a lot we can take away from the defensive performance when most of your main guys who are gonna be starters in the fall didn't play. I'm fine with the fact that they didn't play. We don't need any more injuries. But I'm not sure there's a whole lot we can take. And I guess not to embrace Jeff's Jeff's realism. That's probably something that we should consider when talking about how great the offense looked, and, you know, be a little bit realistic. But you know, just not a whole lot you can glean about the defense.
Yeah, and it's not troublesome to me. It's because to me this spring game was all about how the offense was going to look, right? Like the defense was kind of like we kind of know what we got, right? Like, we've got some studs coming back. It was like eight returning starters or whatever, eight returning guys with a lot of playing time. The spring game was never going to be, for me, about like, oh, how are we going to tackle? What's the defense going to look like? So,
They're so limited on what they're allowed to do on that game anyways. You're just not really getting a true picture of what they can do. You can't hit the quarterback.
Right.
I mean, there's passes that go over the middle that normally on a given Sunday, some of those passes, or a given Saturday, a lot of those receivers are probably going to get lit up. Like, I remember one of those plays where – I think it was Raiola actually passed to somebody over the middle, and you could clearly just see the defense completely stop and just let him have it. So
yeah.
You're just not getting a real look per se at right. What our defense is that we know it's capable.
Like how are you gonna put a full on rush on the passer when you know if you get there you're not gonna be able to tackle the guy and lay him out. So yeah, that's a good point, Jeff.
Well, but I will say, guys, one clear area that I think we can say is absolutely an area of concern continues to be special teams.
Yeah.
Tristan Alvano, 1-for-3 on field goals. That first miss was way off. and I don't, you know, we're not picking on the kid. He's only a true sophomore. He was one of the greatest, you know, high school kickers coming out of Nebraska. I think it's in there somewhere. But you have to wonder if while they're helping him perfect his craft, you know, do they go out and find somebody in the meantime? Because guys, we lived through this, I don't know how many times in recent years. 2019 comes to mind, was it, with Frost? Like we lived through this where basically you got to the point where you knew like normally this would be field goal range. But we almost have to go for it because it's, I think it's 2019 because we kicked a game winner against Northwestern that year. I remember. And it was like some kid who had joined the team 2 weeks earlier. So it wasn't the normal kicker and it was really low, like right over the goalpost. And we won that game.
Lane McCollum.
Wow,
he was like the backup kicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I just remember that feeling of like, this is so debilitating. And so like, when you know you can't kick it consistently and the other team knows you can't kick it consistently and you can't get points. I mean, look, we're sitting here, we're really optimistic. We think we're going to be better for a lot of reasons in 2024, but that will probably involve winning a lot of close games. And when you're in close games, you need to take those opportunities to get points when you have them. And so like this, in my opinion, this is not a small thing.
Right. But and you know, you hope it's just, and we know Alvano can kick the crap out of the ball. You hope it's just like a case of the yips, right? Like remember when Chuck Knobloch like couldn't throw to first base? Just had a little case of the yips. Like you
I've had the yips as a catcher. It couldn't throw it back to the pitcher. Yeah. It's the worst.
Rube Baker syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's real. So you hope he's got 3-4 months to get it figured out, right? Like just, yeah. I mean, I equate it to like the yips in baseball or a guy's got a case of the shanks in golf. Like, Something's going to click at some point. This is me being glass half full guy. Something's going to click at some point, and I think he'll get it going.
Yeah, I hope so. And again, not meaning to pick on the kid. I think he can have a long and successful career at Nebraska, but it was just a little bit jarring and concerning to see. You know, you can't turn the ship. Like, it will cost us games if we're 1-for-3 on field goals, very many games in the fall.
Yes.
That's just
1-for-3 won't cut it. I mean, we'd even settle for 2-for-3.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, just like we talked about with Brandon Vogel, don't let that unit, that special teams unit, be bad enough that they're costing us games. Like, just be serviceable. Yep. You know, like if it's 4th and 7 from the 20-yard line, We'd like to take those 3 points. Like, you know, different story if we're on the 35 and it's 4th and 3 or 4th and 4, we'll just go for it. But we want to make the easy field goals. You have to make those. Beyond 45, 50 yards, like whatever, what do I want to say? I'm tongue tied here. Anyway, make the damn field goals.
Well, it'd be really nice to get to the point with Nebraska football where we're in every phase of the ball, we know good things are going to happen every now and then, bad things are going to happen, but you don't have to hold your breath.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in recent years, it's like some years, every time the opposing team punts, we got to hold our breath. Are we going to be able to return this thing? Are we going to be able to catch this thing? In other years, it's been, can we execute a snap? Can we snap and catch the ball consistently. And now the other years it's been, can we make field goals when we're supposed to make field? I just, can we get to the point where we're not holding our breath?
Can we at least be comfortable? I mean, is that so much to ask?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to just be anxiety ridden all game long. Like, can I just sit comfortably and not shout at my family? That's really all. Yeah, I don't think that's a tall order.
It's not our fault that we punch the couch and throw our hat and yell at our families. It's the performance on the field that's causing it.
Yeah. Don't blame me, sweetheart. I know you're listening right now. Don't blame me. It's the team's fault.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault, Jeff. One other area of concern, guys, we mentioned it a little bit. Unfortunately, Demetrius Bell went down with an injury. Bly Hill, who had been getting a lot of run, a lot of media coverage in the run-up to the spring game, as a guy who could potentially start opposite Tommy Hill at that other corner spot, also went down. They both, oddly, the injuries were pretty close together to each other in the game, and they're both patella injuries, which I don't know a lot about, but Rule said after the game, Demetrius Bell's was significant, and he said Bly Hill's was semi-significant. So I don't know what that means. You have to wonder if they're both going to require surgery. They were both going to be impact guys. It makes you sick, even if it's a kid that's going to be a fifth stringer.
Yeah.
You know, these guys put so much into it. They put so much on the line. They basically dedicate their whole lives to being on this team. So it just stinks regardless. But then especially when you know these guys were going to contribute, just a huge bummer. And, you know, you hope you don't see much more of that once we get to fall camp.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, at least, you know, the silver lining is – I think we've got a lot of dudes, like, and a lot of good young dudes. Like, I was impressed with Jeremiah Charles. Like, even, like, real early on, he came up and hit Dowdell, I think, and made a nice play, which forced me to be like, who's 25? And then just some young fellas, like, really fun for me to see. I think it was number 17. I'm like, who's 17? That guy looks impressive. Willis McGahee the IV, playing at the jack position. And then I saw, oh, who's 51? Well, it's that Vincent Shavers that I've heard a lot about this spring ball. So there's a lot of guys. And yeah. I know just from last season, we're going to play a lot of guys on defense. So I'm just super stoked to see all these guys on the field. Because I think we're going to have a lot of really good athletes and a lot of speed on both sides of the ball.
You know, I think there is a really strong feeling that the overall, like, the level of talent that's being brought in is sort of being elevated. The development, you know, the rules really focus on development. I think the development is really good of these guys. Like, there's a general feeling, I think, to your point, Matty-O, that, you know, the level of play is getting better and better. And, you know, yes, it's really exciting for 2024, but think about 2 and 3 years from now when these guys have been in the program. Maybe some of these guys were raw athletes, whatever, and they've had the coaching and the development and the strengths program and all those things. Man, I mean, it really feels like he's building something, and it really feels like it's working, I guess, is the general feeling and the general takeaway. And, you know, at least allow yourselves a little bit of excitement, Common fans. If you have a little bit of a dose of Geoff and Lincoln's realism, that's okay. But allow yourself this offseason.
Yeah. Forgive you, Jeff. Forgive me.
Apology accepted.
For living in the real world.
Hey, you know what? We've got Luke Skywalker at quarterback. And the line that's coming to me right now is right now what we have is hope. And hope is very powerful. I don't know if you know this, TJ and Jeff, but rebellions are built on hope.
I think that's right. That brings us back to where we started, Matty-O. We said it on January 3rd. We've been saying it from the beginning of the year. It's time to believe in Nebraska football again. And I think part of our theme there was like, it's okay to believe that. It's okay to have this optimism. It's okay to go into a game thinking we are going to win this game. And I genuinely, you know, I'm not saying we're going to go 12-0 this year, but I genuinely think we will look back at 2024 and say that was a season where we turned a corner, where we had a winning season, where we got to a bowl game. Maybe it could be a little more special than that. We don't know. Let's not rule it out. But I just think there's so much reason for optimism, and we freaking deserve it, Common fans.
Damn right.
We have been through so much for 7 years, and we absolutely deserve it. We deserve to get back to a bowl game. So you can spend the next 4 months until August 31st frothing at the mouth, getting ready for football season, and being positive and optimistic about it, because there's lots of reasons to believe.
We are currently Andy Dufresne crawling through the shit pipe to freedom. And we will eventually...
That has been us.
We are still in the pipe right now. But eventually we will be on the other side.
Get out of that pipe.
Being cleansed by the rain.
Yes.
Which will be an 8-4 season, 8-4 in 2024. Yes.
And then we'll end up in Sewatanam. Remember, Red, hope is a good thing.
See?
Maybe the best of things. Back to hope. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, full circle.
Couple more ins and outs before we wrap up, guys. I know, Matty O, you guys had a family travel weekend for your kids' activities. Did you do, or did you hear of anybody doing, you know, what we talked about on our spring ball episode? Anybody do any dry run-throughs? Did we try any snack platters that we haven't tried before? Did we throw anything new on the grill? Did we try some new friends on for size? You know, just some new football watching friends.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Because, you know, the spring game is a scrimmage for the team, but it's important for the common fans to take that opportunity as well.
I didn't get to, obviously, as you just mentioned, we had a kids' activities weekend out of town, but I don't know if Jeff did, but hey, common fans, hit us up in an email or on social media. Let us know if you had did a little test run tailgate. Maybe you invited Jimmy from work to see how he would do at the tailgate, or if he had too many Coors Lights. Maybe like TJ said, maybe you tried a new snack. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to get your engagement on social media.
Maybe you took the younger kids to the actual stadium for the first time. Give them a chance to show if they're ready for it. Geoff, anything from you there?
I did my own tailgate at home in the basement by myself. So
that sounds amazing.
It was great. There was a lot of Coors Lights were consumed.
Were you clothed?
I was fully clothed.
Fully clothed.
Fully clothed. Don't you have to worry about that. No shirt off or anything. But yeah, that was my dry run just to test things to see if I still had it in me to crush 6 beers during a practice, a scrimmage, as we say.
And how'd it go?
There were no beautiful balls in your basement?
No beautiful balls in our basement. No,
just as
not at all.
Got it.
I want to point out too is the one thing is with the spring game, I want to know how much money Valentino's made off of Saturday's festivities. I want to know between the delivery that they probably had going to people's houses and concessions in that stadium, they had to have just made an absolute killing. The spring game has just got to be a moneymaker for those people.
I guess more power to them.
Good for them.
That's
their goal as a business.
Good for
Jeff.
Them.
Yes.
I'm saying good for them, TJ. I'm glad that they can make that kind of money.
You know what, Jeff? The Messinios, a long time ago, took a chance. And they started a little pizza place, and we see what it's become. And I think that's just an
it's an
American success story is what it is. R.I.P. Tony Messinio, yeah. Great guy, great family. Yeah. And you know what, Jeff? Those slices of pizza aren't that expensive in that stadium. What are they, $4 or $5? You go to like a NFL stadium or a Major League Baseball stadium, you're probably paying $10 for that slice of pizza. So yeah, let's pump the brakes on the cost, Jeff.
There we go again.
We'd love to work with Valentino's if they were interested in sponsoring the pod. Just so you know, Jeff's opinions are pure comic fodder.
They're opinions that only belong to Jeff's
only,
and literally.
I mean, I'll gladly take him as a sponsor. And I mean, clearly they've got money to dish out, and we'll take some of that. Please,
Jeff, make yourself a PB&J if it's such a big issue for you. You know, you got a problem with Runza, you got a problem with Valentino's. You know, make yourself a couple PB&Js and stuff them in your coat.
Popcorn and a super pretzel. That's where I'm at.
Yeah,
dip it in some mustard. Oh, it's good.
You're such a sensitive little Irishman. I had one other thing, guys. Just peeking ahead, looking at the schedule, looking at our friends across the border, a couple things jumped out to me. Colorado had their spring game on Saturday as well. Friend of the program, John Canzano, who covers, who's covered sort of Pac-12, traditional Pac-12 schools over the years, had a write-up, and I was reading it, and he was mostly talking about Oregon's spring game, but the context he used was comparing it to Colorado's spring game. And here's what he said, quote, CU used thud intensity with the shoulder pads, basically a physical game of two-hand touch designed to avoid injuries. It was very different than the one I saw in some other scrimmages, including the one at Oregon on Saturday. And then later in the piece, he quoted Dan Lanning, head coach at Oregon, who is a heck of a coach, by the way, as saying, quote, football requires a certain level of effort and physicality, and that doesn't happen by accident. You have to practice it. And then, did you guys see anything on Twitter or social media later in the day? Apparently, Shadur Sanders, son of head coach Coach Prime and starting quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes, was on stage opening up for Lil Wayne on Saturday night.
Did not see that.
If you haven't seen it, Google it, find it on Twitter, whatever. Here's what I have to say about this, guys. Like, Husker fans, and rightly so, love to make fun of Colorado for this stuff. And what I really want to believe is that this no tackling in the spring game and this focus on things that are not related to football, like the whole family being in ads, Dion being in ads, you know, Shadur rapping, whatever it might be. I really want to believe that this is going to lead them to another losing season and going to lead them to us just trouncing, going to lead to us just trouncing them. The game still makes me very nervous, but sure. I thought it was very interesting because I do think they'll have some explosive players, if nothing else, and probably be able to score some points. But here's another thought that I had about this, guys. That I remember when Coach Prime was briefly rumored to be a candidate for the Nebraska job, which I don't think was ever real. That show would not fly in Lincoln. That just wouldn't work in Lincoln. I'm sure Colorado doesn't regret it. It's bringing attention to their forlorn program and bringing in probably more talent than they would otherwise get. But it seems like a sideshow. It's yet to be seen if it's actually going to work.
Yeah. You're right. It wouldn't fly here for sure. Like, and I'll be honest, I was one of those people that's all in on that. You know, I'm Hollywood. I thought it was a cool idea. And the way that season started off last year, I was the first one to say, God, I would take that in a heartbeat. But no, I'm with you. I don't think, after seeing the way things have played out, I know hindsight's 2020, but that would not have been good for Nebraska, period.
No. We're too much of a hardworking, agricultural, blue-collar state where if we heard that we weren't tackling in our spring game, like, that would not be good.
Yep.
Husker fan.
I think we might have done that a year or two, and I don't think it was received
very
well.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd like to think you, and maybe it's because of a lot of the, you know, the roster issues that Coach Prime has also had there, continuing into this year. Like, now that stud running back is in the portal, right, Dylan Edwards, and
they've lost a ton of dudes. Yeah, I mean, they've added a bunch of dudes in the transfer portal too. So we'll see how that goes. But to me, it just doesn't seem like a stable way to be. You can do that in basketball. You can add two guys and completely change your team overnight. You just, I'm a firm believer. It does not work in the long term for football. It just, I just don't believe that.
No, and you know what? They can thud all they want. Week two, coming into Lincoln, we're gonna kick the piss out of those guys. You mark my words.
I want to see us save this clip.
I just think we're going to steamroll them, and we're going to be way too hyped up about it, because it won't mean a whole lot in week two. But I really believe that. I think we're going to just absolutely knock the crap out of them.
Can't wait. All right, Common fans. Well, hope you enjoyed the spring game. Send us your examples of all the ways that you put yourself through the paces and gave yourself sort of a walkthrough, a scrimmage to see how you're going to approach game day in the fall. Would love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter @CommonFanGBR or send us an email, CommonFanGBR@gmail.com. Appreciate you hanging with us as always, Common fans. We'll be back at you soon. We got a lot of fun stuff planned for the off season, so fear not. We're going to be with you pretty much every week from now until fall camp starts, and then it'll be even more than that once the season starts. So hang in there, Common fans. Help your friends and neighbors. Thoughts and prayers again to those who are impacted by the tornadoes. Help out if you can. We'll be back at you soon. Until next time, Common Fans, GBR for life. Thank you.